From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he continues a message with the title, The Curse of Rebuilding What God Has Cursed. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our text for this morning is found in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. This day is notable in English history for two great deliverances wrought by God. On this day, the plot of the Papists to destroy our Houses of Parliament was discovered in 1605. While for our princes they prepare in caverns deep a burning snare, he shot from heaven a piercing ray, and the dark treachery brought to day. And secondly, today is the anniversary of the landing of King William III at Torbay, by which the hope of popish ascendancy was quashed and religious liberty secured in 1688. This day ought to be celebrated, not by the saturnalia of striplings, but by the songs of saints. Our Puritan forefathers most devoutly made it a special time of thanksgiving. There is extant a record of the annual sermons preached by Matthew Henry on this day. Our Protestant feeling and our love of liberty should make us regard its anniversary with holy gratitude. Let our hearts and lips exclaim, We have heard with our ears, and our fathers have told us the wondrous things which thou didst in their day and in the old time before them. Thou hast made this nation the home of the gospel, and when the foe has risen against her, thou hast shielded her. Help us to offer repeated songs for repeated deliverances. Grant us more and more a hatred of Antichrist, and hasten on the day of her entire extinction. Till then and ever, we believe the promise, No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Should it not be laid upon the heart of every lover of the gospel of Jesus on this day, to plead for the overturning of false doctrines and the extension of divine truth? Would it not be well to search our own hearts and turn out any of the popish lumber of self-righteousness which may lie concealed therein?
Men of God, arise, let us praise the King together. Men of God, arise, let us praise His holy name. For His wondrous power within, for His power to cleanse from sin, for His power to take alive and make it whole again. We are called to spread the gospel's glory to those who've never heard. We are called to spread the gospel's glory. Let our banner be unfurled. We've a story to give to our nation, to bring them the message of salvation. We'll work and watch and fight and pray, O men of God, arise. Men of God, arise, for He comes to claim His children. Men of God, arise, for He cometh in the sky.
the gospel story to those who've never heard. We are called to spread the gospel story. Let our banner be unfurled. We'll tell the wonderful story of the Christ who sets men free.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 26, God placed a curse upon anyone who would rebuild the city of Jericho after its destruction. The price for such disobedience would be the deaths of his firstborn and of his youngest son, a penalty which was realized during the reign of the evil King Ahab. In applying the teaching of this passage to present-day religious conditions, Dr. Cairns has presented the reasons for God's curse upon Jericho. Then he showed how this is paralleled in the apostasy which is rampant in the church today. Then he began gleaning some theological lessons from God's curse. God has not changed. The passage of time has no effect upon God's word. What he has declared will inevitably come to pass. What God has cursed should have no place in the life of the individual, the nation, or the church. Yet there is grace for those who repent, for God's grace is as real as his curse. Among the practical lessons found in this narrative is the truth that God's blessing is upon those who trust him, even as his curse is upon those who disobey him. In this age, as in the past, it is important to employ God's methods of building his work, not the world's. Now to continue this message, the curse of rebuilding what God has cursed, here is Dr. Cairns.
This curse is not simply a curse on all sin. Oh, there is a curse on sin. But this is more than a general curse on all sin. This is more than a general curse on all error. This is something that is very, very specific. And it's against one kind of sin. Isaiah spoke of the same kind of sin in chapter 5 and verse 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity or cords of lying, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. Now, that's a very vivid picture. Again, scholars are in two camps as to the precise meaning of the words, and I'm not going to follow them down all the little alleyways of their reasoning. But anybody can see right on the surface of Isaiah 5 and verse 18 the force of the figure of speech. Here are people, and they're in harness with sin. Here are people, and they are dragging sin after them, but they're delighted to have it. They're determined to have it. And then, verse 19, these people say, let him, that is, let God make speed. We know that he has cursed our sin. We know that his judgment is pronounced against our apostasy. We know that he has threatened this awful retribution. But let him make speed. Let him hasten his work that we may see it. Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. The voice of mockery against the God of heaven. This is the sin that God is talking about. This is the sin that he's particularly cursing. As it is in Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's the kind of sin he's talking about. It's a very specialized, particular kind of sin. In the words of, or the picture of our text, it is taking what God has cursed. It is taking what God has condemned. It is taking what God has cast down and is building it up. That's what God is cursing. Let me give you an example or two. Cain sought to gain salvation by building on what God had cursed. Cain sought to save his soul by dismissing the curse of God, by pretending that it didn't exist, by making less of a sin than the Bible made of it. Cain sought to save his own soul by building up what God had cursed, and he paid the price. And I tell you, across America today, there are millions, and they're of the tribe of Cain. They're of the religion of Cain. And they're taking that which has the curse of God upon it, namely, the works of their own supposed righteousness, and they're building it up before God. They're imagining that on that basis, they can placate God's wrath and please God's justice and obtain God's favor. But they can't do it. God's curse is in all Cain's religion. Then Ahab, for I believe that Hiel the Bethelite was only putting into practice the policy and principles of his king, Ahab. Ahab sought to govern the nation by promoting what God had cursed. The building of Jericho was simply an expression of the whole reign of Ahab. God had cursed Baal worship. Ahab brought it in. He made a Baal worshiper his queen. He gave her free reign to persecute truth and to raise iniquity in the country. Ahab was seeking to build his kingdom and govern his nation by promoting what God had cursed. Could I say that here in America today, we are governed by a bunch of Ahabs. And I'm not interested in their political party or their economic strategy or their social policies, at least in most cases. But I am interested, whether it's America or the United Kingdom or Ireland or anywhere else, I am interested when leaders of a nation take what God has officially and forever stamped with His curse, and they have elevated it to such a level that it becomes a major plank in their whole procedure of government. You have today the most wicked devices that the filthy hearts of men have ever been able to produce. You have these things now elevated, not only to the acceptable in America, but you have them elevated to being necessary to the whole democratic freedom and process of this nation, according to those who rule this country. Believe me, before very long, this nation will follow others in giving the full weight of law to this outlook. But according to those who rule this country, at least to most of them, you're an enemy of freedom if you stand against the wickedness of sodomy. I cannot, because of the necessary restrictions of modesty and decency, I cannot begin even to suggest the vileness and the wickedness and the hellishness of this so-called alternate lifestyle. According to those who are governing this country, this is so necessary to America that they are doing their best from the far northwest right through to the eastern seaboard. They are doing their best to introduce the teaching of accepting sodomy as a decent alternative lifestyle, even to children in kindergarten and first grade. That's how necessary they make this to the American way of life. Woe to those that call evil good and good evil. Woe to those who are drawing iniquity with the cart ropes of lies and vanity. Woe to those who would build what God has pulled down, who would bless what God has cursed, and like Ahab would seek to govern the nation by promoting the very thing that God has cursed. That's only an example. You can go further into just about almost any area you would care to mention. God's curse is upon covetousness. God's curse is upon the idea of living in luxury without doing anything to earn it. And yet more and more states of this Union, and I'm sad to say recently my own home country of the United Kingdom, have taken gambling. They have enshrined it as government policy. Our schools are supposed to be going to be better. They're going to be well-financed. They're going to be all this wonderful education system, all built upon the basic breach of the moral law of God and enshrining the very thing that God has cursed. Let me tell you, no nation in history has ever gambled its way into prosperity, and no nation ever will, because the holiness of God is against it. Then you take in the area of the church. Judaizers sought to subvert the church by introducing to the gospel the very thing that God had cursed. What is Judaism? I'll deal with this a little further tonight. There's a little overlap in the text today, something I hadn't worked out, but in the providence of God, as we look a little further at the Apostle Paul tonight, we discover that Judaizers sought to subvert the gospel and turn the church away from the purity of the gospel by putting into it the religion of Cain, the works of the flesh. They're still at it. Judaizers seeking to turn away the church of Christ from the purity and the simplicity and the glory of the gospel of a full and free and all-sufficient saving grace. Now let me tell you, what God has cursed should have no place in the life of the individual or the nation or the church. The second theological lesson. But there's a third theological lesson, and I thank God for it. It'd be easy to overlook it. And that is that God's grace extends to those who are afflicted by the curse. Jericho, in Scripture, is a city associated with the idea of God's curse. As I've indicated in 1 Kings 16, the curse was actually fulfilled in the family of Hiel the Bethelite. And yet, when you turn to the New Testament, Jericho figured largely in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus lived in Jericho, and it was into his house the Savior went. And he said, "Today I must abide at thy house. This day is salvation come to this house." The blind man, including Bartimaeus, sat outside Jericho. And it was there that the Savior manifested his mercy and his power and gave them sight and salvation. You remember when he told the story of the Good Samaritan? It was on the road down to Jericho that the Good Samaritan showed his mercy to one who was all but dead. And it was at Jericho that the Lord Jesus prophesied to his disciples his own death on the behalf of sinners. What does it tell us? It tells us, my friend, that God's curse against sin is real. God's curse that would bring sinners down to the damnation of hell is real. But oh, bless God, God's grace is also real. And in the person of the Son of God, God's grace penetrated to the very citadel of the curse and of sin and brought light in the place of darkness, hope to the hopeless, and salvation to those tottering on the edge of destruction. Where sin abounded, grace superabounded. Where darkness was deep, the light of God was strong enough to dispel it. Thank God we learn the theological lesson of the mighty power, not only of God's wrath, but of God's love in Jesus Christ. And then finally, of course, there are practical lessons. When you think of this text that we have taken this morning, when you think that God says, I curse the man who builds the fortifications of Jericho ever, at any time, but that the people live there without fortifications, you can learn, number one, God's blessing is on those who trust Him. His blessing is always on those who trust Him. Humanly speaking, in those days, it was folly to live in an unfortified town without defenses. How could they sleep in their bed at night? How could they have any safety? It was folly. But it wasn't, it was faith. They were living under the conditions that the Lord dictated. You see, faith is not blind to the difficulties. Faith is not blind at all to the circumstances. And faith is not just leaping forward into the dark and hoping that somehow or other it will all turn out okay. No, faith is taking a principled stand on what God has said. And God told them, you must not build these fortifications. And yet I give this very site to the children of Benjamin to live in. The implication is clear and plain. You live here, but don't build the fortifications. You live here in the midst of the standing testimony to the power and the mercy and the goodness and yet the severity of God. You live by faith in your Redeemer. And you'll find He is the protection of His people. Obedience is always the best defense that Christians have.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.